One day, having it in mind to put Jasper to shame at last, Ged said to the master hand in the court of seeming, "Sir, all these charms are much the same, knowing when you know them all, and as soon as the spell-weaving ceases, well, the illusion vanishes. Now, if I make a pebble into a diamond," and he did so with a word and a flick of his wrist, "what must I do to make that diamond remain diamond? How is the changing spell locked and made to last?" The master hand looked at the jewel that glittered on Ged's palm, bright as the prize of a dragon's hoard. The old master murmured one word, "Tolk!" And there lay the pebble, no jewel but a rough gray bit of rock. The master took it and held it out in his own hand. "This is a rock. Tolk in the true speech," he said, looking mildly up at Ged now. "A bit of the stone of which Rock Isle is made, a little bit of the dry land on which men live, it is itself. It is part of the world. By the illusion change, you can make it look like a diamond, or a flower, or a fly, or an eye, or a flame." The rock flickered from shape to shape, as he named them, and returned to rock. "But that is mere seeming. Illusion fools the beholder's senses. It makes him see, and hear, and feel that the thing is changed. But it does not change the thing. To change this rock into a jewel, you must change its true name. And to do that, my son, even to so small a scrap of the world, is to change the world. It can be done. Indeed, it can be done. It is the art of the master changer, and you will learn it when you are ready to learn it. But you must not change one thing, one pebble, one grain of sand, until you know what good and evil will follow on that act. The world is in balance, in equilibrium. Wizard's power of changing and of summoning can shake the balance of the world. It is dangerous, that power. It is most perilous. It must follow knowledge and serve need. To light a candle is to cast a shadow." He looked down at the pebble again. "A rock is a good thing too, you know," he said, speaking less gravely. "If the isles of Earthsea were all made of diamond, we'd lead a hard life here. Enjoy illusions, lad, and let the rocks be rocks." He smiled, but Ged left dissatisfied. Press a mage for his secrets, and he would always talk, like Gogion, about balance and danger in the dark. But surely a wizard, one who had gone past these childish tricks of illusion to the true arts of summoning and change, was powerful enough to do what he pleased and balance the world as seemed best to him and drive back darkness with his own light. In the corridor he met Jasper, who, since Ged's accomplishments began to be praised about the school, spoke to him in a way that seemed more friendly but was more scoffing. "You look gloomy, Spinnerhawk," he said now. "Did your juggling charms go wrong?" Seeking, as always, to put himself on equal footing with Jasper, Ged answered the question, ignoring its ironic tone. "I'm sick of juggling, sick of these illusion tricks fit only to amuse idle lords and their castles and domains. The only true magic they've taught me yet on Roke is making werelight and some weatherworking. The rest is mere foolery." "Even foolery is dangerous," said Jasper. "In the hands of a fool." At that, Ged turned as if he had been slapped and took a step towards Jasper. But the older boy smiled as if he had not intended any insult, nodded his head in his stiff, graceful way, and went on. Standing there with rage in his heart, looking after Jasper, Ged swore to himself to outdo his rival, and not in some mere illusion match, but in a test of power. He would prove himself and humiliate Jasper. He would not let the fellow stand there, looking down at him, graceful, disdainful, hateful. Ged didn't stop to think why Jasper might hate him. He only knew why he hated Jasper.
The other apprentices had soon learned they could seldom match themselves against Ged either in sport or in earnest, and they said of him, some in praise and some in spite, "He's a wizard born. He'll never let you beat him." Jasper alone neither praised him nor avoided him, but simply looked down at him, smiling slightly, and therefore Jasper stood alone as his rival, who must be put to shame. He didn't see, or would not see, that in this rivalry which he clung to and fostered as part of his own pride, there was anything of the danger, the darkness, of which the master hand had mildly warned him. When he was not moved by pure rage, he knew very well that he was as yet no match for Jasper, or any of the older boys, and so he kept at his work, and he went on as usual. At the end of summer, the work was slackened somewhat, so there was more time for sport, spellboat races down in the harbor, feats of illusion in the courts of the great house, and in the long evenings in the groves, wild games of hide-and-seek, where hiders and seeker were both invisible, and only voices moved, laughing and calling.